Our scripture reading is the 139th Psalm. You will find it on in your pew Bible, of course, and I invite you to turn to it and follow along as I read, as we listen for God's word together. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed. How weighty are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Most likely I have told you before about the young man who, in the days before email and instant messaging, went off to college. For weeks, his parents did not hear a word from him. They were frantic. At last, a telegram arrived. It said, "Start worrying. Details to follow." I recently read a sentence in an article in the New York Times that made me start worrying. Robert Ruthnow, a respected sociologist of religion, had written, "Unless religious leaders take young adults more seriously, the future of American religion is in doubt." That alarmed me. I set out to discover some of the details, and I did. For example, research by the Barna Group, which is sort of a Gallup poll of Christian trends, reveals that 40% of Americans between the ages of 16 and 29 do not identify themselves with the Christian faith. 40%. Moreover, 87% find the Christian faith to be judgmental, 85% hypocritical, 78% old-fashioned, and 70% insensitive to the needs of others. I also discovered that the average age of an American Lutheran is 53, and of an American Methodist, 57. I would imagine that we Presbyterians are right along in there somewhere, wouldn't you? It is not unusual, of course, for young people to drift away from their religious moorings when they leave home and go to college or begin their vocational lives. It's not unusual for young adults to stay away from organized religion. until they marry or have children. But the degree and the length of time is growing. With later marriages, more career options for women, with people putting off having children until they are well into their 30s, the longer the time away, the longer is the time away, and the longer the time away, the less likely return will be. The average intervening period has stretched out now to 15 years. And yet, what a shame. So many important decisions are made in young adulthood. Professor Christian Smith, who directs the Center for the Study of Religion at the University of Notre Dame, writes, "These are the most crucial years in a person's life for the formation of personal identity, behavioral patterns, and social relationships." I read the sentence and I got worried. The sentence that said, unless religious leaders take younger adults more seriously, the future of American religion is in doubt. I researched some of the data and I am still worried. It is obvious that mainline Protestant churches, including this particular mainline Protestant church, needs to wake up and smell the coffee, as Ann Landers used to say. We need to remember that today's young adults are not necessarily looking for the same things that middle-aged and older adults are. Young adults are interested in experiential, participatory, and communal kinds of religious experiences. Those are the characteristics, at least, that are pointed out by Leonard Swede, a professor of evangelism at Drew University. For evidence of Dr. Sweet's points, one need look no further than Facebook.com. Aren't you proud of me that I even know there is such a thing? 85% of all college and university students have Facebook.com. 60% of them log on every day. Users, on average, spend 19 minutes a day doing it. I'm thinking that I probably should get a facelift before I get Facebook. But I am very interested in the phenomenon. Facebook.com was started only in 2004. Isn't that amazing? By two former Harvard students who wanted to help the people in the college and university community connect with one another. When some of us went off to college and were freshmen in college, we were given a Facebook, do you remember? With pictures of your fellow classmates, and you could go sit on your bed in your dorm room and go ABC and try to learn the faces of your classmates. That's where the name comes from. The whole point of Facebook.com is to answer the basic human need to know and to be known by someone else. It is used by 60 million people around the world. And if you've never seen anybody's Facebook site, I logged on to a few, and you find out all sorts of interesting things about people. People put photographs on their websites. They have photographs of themselves, their dogs, their goldfish. People log in and leave you a message, and you leave them a message back, and on it goes. I once thought that this whole phenomenon of internet communication reflected a growing societal disconnect and sense of isolation, but now I have the sense that the spectacular success of these new methods of communication reflects this deep human longing to be heard and to listen, to know and to be known. Naturally, there is a dark side. People hack their way into information they have no right to know about you. The innocent are preyed on, the gullible taken advantage of, and there's more out there in cyberspace about you and me than we wish there were. I got a little chill in my blood last Sunday when I was reading the paper and the headline said, "They've got your salary number." It seems as if there is a company based in Atlanta that collects the salary numbers and job titles of, right now they have 46 million Americans in the database, and they share that information with Lord knows who. Friday, when I was writing this sermon, I took a break and logged on to Amazon.com. I wanted to buy Jim Wallace's new book. And as soon as I clicked on the screen, here comes a message, "Hello, Joanna Adams. Here's a list of about 20 other books we think you'd like." They know my reading habits. Soon, I guess they'll know my eating habits, and so on and so forth. To borrow from the 29th Psalm, clearly Amazon.com has searched me and known me. No matter whether one is 19 years old or 49 years old or 99 years old, all of us have within our hearts a longing for God. We cannot truly know ourselves or other people without, believe it or not, the knowledge of God. John Calvin, the intellectual and theological giant of our mainline Protestant tradition, had it right. Without the knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Without the knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self or of anyone else. The psalmist marvels at the thought that God knows everyone and everything in the universe, including him. "You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways." If I take the wings of the morning and settle in the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. For the few moments I have this morning, I want to think with you about the original Facebook.com, which predates today's version by several thousand years. I want to suggest to you that this magnificent psalm that is our scripture lesson today is the Facebook.com of the Holy Bible. It speaks of this innate human longing to know and be known, specifically in this case by God, what Martin Buber calls the I-Thou relationship.